today on Real Radio.
And part of this time, no matter what it is, it could be that you stub your toe to a global pandemic. He is shaking your life to get you to understand and to get you to think and to examine your life that is Christ not only Savior, but Lord of my life. Does Jesus call the shots in my life?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called My Dear Church with a message called My Dear Thyatira, I've Written You a Letter. Beginning with the church at Ephesus, Jesus singles out certain churches in Asia Minor, which of course is now modern-day Turkey. His intention? To deliver a timeless message to every believer in every church by challenging us to examine our hearts and where we are in our walk with the Lord. Many are confused over what's happening these days. Some say it's God's judgment upon the earth, while others call it simply a process of evolution. But one thing is perfectly clear. God is speaking to the world, and really, we need to listen to Him. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that Thyatira was more like a large town. Still, it had an important military post used by the Roman Empire, and the church at Thyatira, just like us today, was facing many challenges. It's why God, with all of His power and authority, is warning them against immoral leadership and false teachings, in particular, allowing sinful acts within the fellowship. And now in his message called My Dear Thyatira, I've Written You a Letter, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And so now coming to the fourth church, if you would jot it down in your notes, we're talking about the church at Thyatira. You see, Jack, who cares about this, and especially at a time like this? Jack, give us a message that gets us excited and gets us feeling happy about life. I don't know. Give us a pep talk. I am. There's no greater pep talk in the world for the Christian than to have the Word of God, and on top of it, the Bible. And on top of that, the book of Revelation. Because these seven letters to the seven churches are given by Jesus Christ, listen, to not only speak to seven churches that literally existed at that time, but we know now, 2,000 years later, that church historians tell us that there's a pattern to what Jesus has given us in these seven letters to the seven churches. That as you look at the churches and you look at the description of where they're at and how they're doing and the things that surround them, it just so happens that each of the church eras or epochs fall into a line, fall into a category or bracket of church history. And you say, well, Jack, where does that place us then? If we're 2,000 years later, where are we on this? And we'll come to this in a few weeks, but that will be the church of Laodicea, a church that is sleeping, a church that is backslidden, a church that has departed from the word, a church that has become complacent and loves the world. And I hope I'm not describing this church, and I hope I'm not describing you, but it's the overall presiding and prevailing attitude of the church in the world. And quite interesting. So today, Thyatira. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And to the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Verse 20, nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. Verse 25, hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. What a statement. Verse 27, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed into pieces like the potter's vessel, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Verse 29, we end. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so what we're looking at is a remarkable statement. By the way, this is the longest letter of the seven written significantly to the smallest town, not a city. It's a small town. All the others are cities. This is a small town, but in its way, very, very influential and very, very necessary to the Roman Empire. And that plays into the description of what Jesus says to them, because their hearts had drifted and entertained certain things that you and I today do not want to be guilty of. That's the whole motive for these seven studies. We're living at a time of this pandemic. And we're living at a time, regardless, I'm not going to get into the debate yet. I have a plan, but I'm not going to get into the debate yet as to the veracity of this pandemic. It is a pandemic, and to those who are compromised in their health, it's a very serious virus. If you're sick, you need to stay away from people. But other than that, the volume of noise compared to the morbidity or the lethality of this virus is off the scale. It's not in alignment. But I'm going to go somewhere with this. Listen, what has been talked up globally about the virus, the data doesn't match the talk. In other words, we have experienced in my lifetime worse pandemics than this, but we've never seen anything like what's happening now in the world regarding a sickness like we are today. The question begs this: why? And people will be finding out why. I'm sure data science will show why soon enough. But the point is, coming from a Christian's perspective, is why has it had this effect on the world? And what kind of effect is it having on the church? And how does it affect you? That's why we're in these seven letters. What do I need to do about my faith? What do I do about my faith? This is the challenge today. How are you doing regarding this issue? Because on the grand scheme of things, this is nothing compared to what's coming. Christian, are you ready in the Word of God to face challenges like the church at Thyatira did? So what the Spirit is saying to the church, if you jot this down, a few things regarding thoughts, is this: that the Spirit of God speaks, always speaks to the church. And there's four things I want you to look at, that the nature of Christ and his church is universal. Listen, the nature of Christ and his church is universal, meaning that Jesus' church is everywhere. It's united, each one, yet different from one another by design. And the nature of the church and Jesus Christ nationally, in your country, wherever you're at. The fact is, the church is united nationally, even though they may live in a hostile environment, and yet each church is a little bit different. Thirdly, the nature of the church and Jesus Christ working with this church is locally. So it's universal globally. It's national. There are believers in every nation all around the world, no matter what that nation is, even if it's a nation that is hostile towards Christianity. But thirdly, locally, the fact of the matter that Jesus Christ and his church are united locally. Now, when I say locally, obviously we're getting closer to home. For us, locally, because we live where we live, locally is a broad statement. You might live in a Midwest country town, and locally is just your city limits of maybe a couple thousand people. That's your local. Our local here in the greater Los Angeles area, though we live in Chino Hills and the suburbs, the fact of the matter is that when we talk about local, to us, local is huge. We're talking about many tens of millions of people that are local in the region. And Jesus Christ is working in his church, every church united in the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. But the fact is, each one a little bit different. And then it comes down to the nature of Christ and his church regarding you and I personally. And every one of these arenas and descriptions deal with either the globe at a time or a nation regarding its obedience to Christ or not, its local influence regarding what's happening in spiritual matters in the local region, and then, of course, personally. And you can reverse that list because what happens to you personally will affect the local community, and the local community will affect the nation, and the nation will affect the world. It's God's design. And the power of God's word is to get you and I to be conformed into the image of Christ and that you and I would stand upon the promises of God. Romans 15, verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written beforehand or before time, that is the Bible, was for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Romans 15, 5 says, now may the God of all patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded. There's that word unified toward one another according to Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, says Romans, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unity, unity. And so this is very important. As we dive into this, church, get your pens ready and make note of this. Number one, verses 18 to 19. So, my dear Thyatira, Jesus is saying, I've written you a letter. And as you begin to read your letter and as you begin to unpack what I'm telling you, as I speak to you, I'm reading I'm writing to you this note, and it certainly applies to you and I personally, friend, to your community and beyond. Here's what he says. I'm writing to you a letter of authority. Jesus Christ is the ultimate authority in your life. That's what makes you a Christian. You see, Jack, I thought Jesus dying on the cross for my sins made me a Christian. No. Jesus dying on the cross, he paid the price of all sin for all man. You would then have to go on from that and believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the supernatural resurrection of God the Son from the dead for your justification. See, Christ not only died, he rose again from the dead. The cross is meaningless without the empty tomb, and you can't have an empty tomb without the cross. Perfectly unified in doctrine. But that's not all. You must come to faith in that act of God, in that person of God, Christ Jesus. You must come to rest upon him. And when you do that, Christ has absolute authority in your life. It's not just the salvation of God. It's not just my fire insurance from hell. It's this. It's the lordship of Christ. Look, many of you have named the name of Christ, but you have wandered most of your life from the Lord, and you've never had a lordship relationship. And part of this time, no matter what it is, it could be that you stub your toe to a global pandemic, he is shaking your life to get you to understand and to get you to think and to examine your life that is Christ, not only Savior, but Lord of my life. Does Jesus call the shots in my life? And that's what all of us now, and we have been, searching and praying and calling out to him. Lord, show us what to do. Look, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus, and I'm following Jesus, and he's my Lord. But let's agree, all of us have been challenged at this time, and all of us in different arenas. For me personally, it's, Lord, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to my state? What are you saying to my nation where I live? And Lord, what do you want us to do? And so, for example, all of us as pastors and Christians want to get back to church now. We are so patient. We're being so patient. But that door's not open yet. It's opening, but I'm excited about that. But I've got to wait. And how do I do that? It's either I'm Lord and I'm going to do my thing and then ask God to bless it, which is a joke, or I'm going to bring my drive and my emotions and my thoughts under his control and go with what he's leading. He's the authority. Is Christ the authority of your life? Is Jesus the one who ultimately has the sign-off of your decision-making? What kind of decisions are you making? Look at Revelation 2:18. It says, and to the angel of the church at Thyatira, regarding the authority, let's first look at Thyatira. Thyatira is a church that, if you look at the chronology of church history, we're about at around 580, 590 AD. When it comes to where in the chronological 2,000 years does this church appear, even though it's 2,000 years old in the writing, what kind of spirit age proves that it's a Thyatira type of belief system? About 580, 590, all the way out to about the year 1,000 or 1,100. During the time of this profound Middle Ages, or you'd call the Dark Ages, where the church became so compromised, it had the word of God, it knew what it was to believe, but because of political and church political unions, it compromised. And many scholars today will tell you that that is an era of time that is known as Romanism. It's not that the Roman Empire was still in existence, it's that the Roman Empire was in the existence of the church, in the heart. And it's a very interesting study to embark upon if you do that. Thyatira, we now in our map go up and we are now heading out of Smyrna and we're heading east now and south. So now the loop of that mail route we talked about in our first study is now heading southerly to Thyatira. And unlike the earlier churches that we've studied, Thyatira again was a town more than a city. But what was important about it is that it was deemed a necessary Roman military outpost. It was the front line of defense against invaders on the eastern flank of the Roman Empire. That makes it very significant. A town that was subsidized by the Roman government, a town that had, in our modern day age, it would be a town that you drive by and you happen to see tanks parked out in a field. It would be where there's soldiers practicing and training. It was a Roman encampment for the Roman army. And by the way, Thyatira had there, because it was the front line, a very elite Roman warrior. And outside of that, you say, why does the town matter? Why would Jesus write to this obscure location? Well, we don't know exactly. There were other bigger churches in the region. Why didn't he write to them? We don't know. We do not know. But we do know this, that what is described down to verse 29 is a time and an era that we saw from 580, 590 to 1100. And that's important. But is it a time in your own heart? As we shall see. It had become famous in the first century for its, listen, union trades. I am not kidding. Many believe that this is where the unions were born. In Thyatira, and I'm reading now, the union trades and the guilds or local guilds dominated the Thyatiran life. Notable unions were fabric unions, were dye unions, were unions of tanners making things out of leather. There were unions for wood. There were unions for craft. There were various trades. And even the performers, the Roman theater had its guild, which by the way, they had a symbol. I kid you not. They had a symbol and it was called the hypocrite. The hypocrite is the base or root word for hypocrite. And it's a symbol that is used in Hollywood or New York today. And it is two faces facing away from each other, two-faced. The word hypocrite means to wear two faces. You're two-faced. Have you ever heard of that before? That comes from the word hypocrite. It comes from the Roman theater. And Thyatira had that there. and it was quite well known. Unions, though, were established there, and you say, wow, nothing's ever changed. You're not kidding, because we know from studying the book of Thyatira and its culture of Thyatira that the unions demanded absolute allegiance. Listen to this. The unions demanded absolute allegiance to what they had as a agenda. So if you were in the metalworking union, that union there in Thyatira had certain, listen, gods that represented their union. And of course, you have to make the gods happy, or else your union's going to fold because the gods won't bless you. And so you were forced, if you belong to this particular union, you had to bow allegiance to the gods associated to that union. Oh my goodness, doesn't that sound familiar? Even today, the union will tell you, you've got to do this. You've got to believe like this. You've got to vote this candidate. You have to pay money to do the other. Wow, nothing's changed. Thyatira was just like that. And there's a warning here regarding authority, a challenge. So all of a sudden, this old ancient letter is starting to wake me up. Why? Look at verse 18. It says, write these things. Who says, the Son of God is the one writing. The Son of God. This is a huge statement. Church, this is a statement from Jesus to this church. And every time something is said, there is a reason why. Jesus is telling this church, I'm the Son of God. You say, well, obvious. It's because they were so compromised by that union pressure to name other gods to keep their jobs. If I don't bow down to the God of the teachers union, if I don't do what they say, I'll lose my job. If I'm in the police officers union, if somebody asks me how I voted, oh man, see the pressure? Why? There's spiritual powers behind any kind of pressure. There's spiritual powers. To go against your conscience, to gain your support against something that is ungodly. How many of us, pastors don't belong to a union, but how many of us belong to unions and we give our money to them and they turn right around and they actually have the idol of Moloch or Baal because our unions fund abortion, for example, and Planned Parenthood, things like that. Jesus comes on the scene basically and says, nope, I'm the Son of God. It's the only time found in the book of Revelation where it is the Son of God like this spoken by Jesus. It's remarkable. And he describes himself. And it's all authority, and it is all power, and it's all to get your attention. It's all to get you to sit up and say, wow, the governor is not my authority. The mayor is not my authority. The president is not my authority. Christ is my authority.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called My Dear Thyatira, I've written you a letter. Thanks for listening. And we're not saved by good works, but our good works are always a way of showing others that we are saved. My Dear Thyatira, I've written you a letter. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called My Dear Church. It's a series taken from the book of Revelation about the seven letters written to seven churches and what Jesus wants to say to the church today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, we can either use social media for our benefit, or, like the church at Thyatira, we can allow deceit to compromise our faith and fill us with ungodly philosophies, opinions, and worldviews. It's why Pastor Jack continues to bring us his podcasts, YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram, and Real Radio shows that promote biblical truth. We often fail to realize the influence that social media has on our lives, and we can easily get bogged down with content that doesn't come from a place of love and hope. So, head over to our website, that's jackhibbs.com. You'll find easy access to all that Pastor Jack has to offer. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.